Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Yeah, I know the weather's been good and people might fancy a nice little treat or dessert over the weekend, or maybe you still have some left and you're hoping to tuck into them later today. Glover's Alley chef Aoife Comerford is with us in studio this afternoon. Aoife, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are here to talk to us today about batch cooking desserts. Yeah. It's not something I've ever done. Do people...
People do batch cook desserts. I think people always have it in their mind that you only batch cook kind of lunches and dinners or breakfasts. But it'd be great if you had your batch cooked lunch and dinner and then a little treat to go after.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I need to probably lay off some of the little treats. But anyway, there are times you can do it. Are there certain desserts that are more suitable to freezing though than others?
Yeah, like cookies, for example, they're perfect because you can freeze them frozen, like the dough. And then you can freeze as well them when they're baked. Mm. But certain cakes, mostly tray bakes and stuff like that, chocolate cake, any kind of sponge cake, freezing bakes like that is better than, like, it'd be very hard to freeze anything more intricate and stuff like that.
Okay, so you have two different desserts with us today.
Yeah.
Things we can batch cook, that if we wanted something, if somebody called in for coffee in the afternoon, you have something you can you can take out and have for them. The first one today is it's pineapple...
Yeah.
Upside down cake.
Yeah.
Tell us about this.
So this cake, basically, you how the top looks, you have the pineapple rings and you have cherries in the centre of the rings. But you put that part at the bottom when you bake it. And when it's baked, you flip it upside down.
Ah, okay.
And that's why it's called pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah, well, exactly as it says in the tin there.
Yeah.
So the pineapple goes into the tin first with the cherry, then the mix.
Yeah.
Cook it in the oven.
Yeah. And then, so like you're basically kind of caramelizing the pineapple and the cherries on the bottom layer. You have your butter and sugar in there, your melted butter, making it into almost a paste. And then you slot the pineapple rings into it. And then when you make your cake mix, then you fold the batter on top of it very neatly, give it a tap, bang it in the oven. Mm. It's about an hour cooking.
Okay, so simple enough time.
Yeah, simple enough. You take it out then, you wait for it to cool a bit, flip it upside down. That's then where the pressure comes on. You're a bit nervous. Yeah. Will it come out? Will it not? I always put a line of greaseproof paper. Not every recipe calls for it, but I think it's better to make sure that it doesn't stick to the tin and that you'll definitely get that nice top layer.
How many pineapples?
I use the tinned pineapples.
Okay.
And usually you can get like 6 to 8 slices, depending on how big your tin is. If you want to do a tray bake, you could use about 8 rings then.
Okay.
And then 4 cherries. You'd cut the cherries in half.
Yeah, so. It looks well.
Yeah.
And the kind of the glazed look at the top.
Yeah.
Is that just from, how do you get that look?
So it's melted butter and then brown sugar. And then you basically make that into a paste, spread it along the bottom. And then when it's baking inside, after you have the mix and then the pineapple's on, it caramelizes itself. So it gives you a nice glossy layer.
I was expecting it to be overly sweet. With the pineapple, but it's not.
No, a lot of people kind of think that, but I think the tang of the pineapple helps kind of mellow it out, and the batter itself actually isn't that sweet.
So what's in it, roughly, like in terms of, I know we're going to put the recipes up on our socials so people will be able to get that there if you want the full recipe, but we have, I presume, butter, sugar, the usuals.
You have sour cream, egg whites.
Why sour cream?
Sour cream helps lift it a bit. It makes it a bit more airy and stuff like that. Especially with this kind of cake, to make it super light, I'm like beating me butter, I'm beating me sugar, I'm beating in me egg whites, I'm beating in then me sour cream. I'm making the mixture light in colour and doubled in volume. Super, super airy. It's to keep the sponge nice and light.
Okay, so that's where the effect of that comes from. Right. Do you want to take us through maybe some of the ingredients that you have in it?
Yeah. So we have plain flour, baking powder, bicarbonate of soda, salt, unsalted butter, granulated sugar, egg whites, vanilla, extract or essence, either works just as good. Pineapple juice, and that's the juice that is in the can.
In the tin,
yeah. Yeah, sometimes in the tins you can get it where it's in a simple syrup. And that's what would make then the cake a bit too sweet.
Okay.
So you want to get it in its own juices. You want to take the rings out, blot them off a little bit on a kitchen towel so it doesn't
just
make your cake...
dry them nearly a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to make your cake too soggy. And then you'll use that remaining juice then and you'll pour that into your cake.
Simple as that. Cooked in an hour, done.
Yeah. It's a quite a simple cake. Like, I've been baking it for years. This was something my mom actually showed me.
Oh, right.
And then I ended up, like, kind of changing the recipes or looking at new recipes over time. Yeah. But this is something we've eaten for years.
So you can freeze that once it's done, cooked, pop it in the freezer.
Yeah, you can freeze it up to 3 months then. And then when you want to thaw it out, put it into the fridge.
Yeah.
And then you could whack it in the oven. 180 degrees for 5 to 10 minutes, depending on like how, if you want a little bit warm, if you want it super hot.
Yeah.
And then you could pretend
it's nice cold.
Yeah. Oh, I baked it this morning.
Did you?
Nobody would be none the wiser, to be honest.
It was absolutely gorgeous. Aside from that though, you have the old reliables.
Yeah, chocolate chip cookies.
Amazing. So these are good for batch cooking, you mentioned.
Oh, they're perfect for batch cooking. A lot of recipes will call for you to freeze the dough and then bake the dough from frozen. Anyway, because it gives you a better cookie that can be softer on the inside and stuff like that.
These look great.
So cookies are perfect for doing batch cooking.
In what way? Just explain.
Like making the dough is very simple. You know, it's the same process as a upside down pineapple cake. You know, it's beating your eggs, beating your sugar, adding in your dry ingredients and stuff like that in your chocolate chips. But freezing it, it's very easy in terms of storage because you can ball up the cookies, have them already pre-weighed out. You could do 100 grams per cookie to make huge cookies. Mm. I mean, like the little size giant cookies,
massive ones, yeah.
Or 50 grams per cookie to make a bit of a smaller cookie then. But you can freeze that dough and then bake it from frozen and they'll be just as good. Really, really easy to bake cookies.
They're fantastic. Loads of chocolate chips in them.
Though. Yeah, loads. Like I have like 400 grams of chocolate chips in it.
Really?
It's like, yeah, I think a cookie's better the more chocolate it has. And it makes the dough as well. When you get to the final stages of the dough, like you want to make sure it's all brought together. And the dough should have that really thick consistency before you fold in your chocolate chips.
What I like about those now is there's a real crunch off them when you bite them. I actually don't like cookies that when you bite into them, they are dough-like. It's nearly as if they're not cooked.
Yeah.
Whereas there's an actual bite in that.
Yeah, it depends on how long you cook them for. So a lot of recipes call for 10 to 12 minutes, but you could bring it as far as 15. So once the edges start to brown, you could take out your cookies while they're still soft and they'll firm up then at room temperature. Mm. But you leave them in for a little bit less time or a little bit more time, depending on the firmness.
Okay.
So if you want a softer cookie, you'd be going down the end of kind of 9-10 minutes. You want a harder cookie, you're going up towards 15.
Okay. The recipe that you have, as I said, we're going to put that up on our on our socials, but how many cookies roughly should we get out of that?
You'd get, so this is a big batch, so you get 40 cookies out of it.
40?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a lot
perfect
of cookies
for batch cooking then if people want to throw them in the freezer.
You could cut the recipe in half and make 20 cookies then even if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So it'd be super simple, but like it's great for kids, great for just a little treat. Great if you want to, you know, have a scoop of ice cream, bake up just one cookie, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be really, really simple and like the cooking time is very short as well, so it's really quick.
Has Aoife any advice? I always make cookies, but they end up actually really hard and crispy. Oh, this listener wants to make the softer ones. Well, you just mentioned. Yeah, so it's the timing really is the secret or in that.
It's the time and like a lot of people think it's like when you bake a cake you want the whole thing to be golden brown before you take it out, and Irish people have a tendency to overcook things. We're always worried. It's like
tell
when we cook chicken, we're always cutting open every single piece to make sure it's done. But cookies, they just need to be brown along the edges and they might wobble a bit, but if you take them out they will firm up at room temperature then, so your cookie is not underdone, you won't get food poisoning, you'll be fine. And that's the worry, people tend to overcook them because they get nervous.
Another listener is wondering, do you put the chocolate in it before freezing or just add it in after? I can't imagine the chocolate being nice after frozen.
Do you know what, the chocolate would be nice after frozen because you bake it up, so when you bake it up it all turns nice and soft and nice and gooey and stuff like that. And like I said, a lot of recipes recommend you to actually freeze the batter because you get a better cookie,
better out of it. Is gluten free flour the same for cookies or do I need anything special? Do you need baking soda for cookies as well?
You'd probably need baking soda. You can get gluten-free baking soda and baking powder in places like Fallon and Bourne. They do gluten-free. So
people are looking for that.
Yeah.
My granny used to make the upside-down yogurt cake. I haven't had it since, but I am now going to try and make Aoife's pineapple cake, says this listener. Another texter is wondering, how long should you preheat the oven for the upside-down cake?
180 degrees, and I just preheat the oven for 10 minutes.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an hour.
Yeah.
I know it's a different type of cake, but my Victoria sponge keeps ending up looking very flat. I'm wondering how I can make it fluffier.
Like I said, it's beating up the eggs and then the butter. And anytime you have butter and sugar and eggs, you want to double it in volume. So when you think you've mixed enough, mix a bit more. When it's lighter in colour, and then it's super airy, it's doubled in volume, it's lifted up. That will give you a lighter cake with any recipe, as far as I'm concerned. That will give you a lighter cake overall.
So bigger size, so more ingredients than the recipe to get it?
No, so basically no. When you whisk up your butter and your sugar together, when you're mixing it around, it will actually double in volume.
Oh, right,
colour.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you meant adding double the ingredients into it. Sorry.
Just from whisking like the air into it, it raises it up. Like, you'll get double the volume than what you had before.
Is there anything I could make for my daughter who's allergic to eggs?
Who's allergic to eggs? Let me think. There is a lot of eggless recipes. Like, if you look online, there's a lot of different variations of cakes and stuff like that. I remember growing up, like, if we didn't have the ingredients at home, I'd be like, cake without eggs, cake without this, cake without that. But there's so much more options and varieties out there as well.
You're kind of into your biscuit cakes and stuff, aren't you, really?
Yeah, like, I love biscuits. I love cake in general. Like, I'm a pastry chef. I've been baking for years. But I love trying new things. And I love when I'm missing an ingredient and I have to try something else. You know, it's finding the things that work for you. But there's so many options out there. Even loads of books now offer, like, dairy-free, vegan. Mm. Vegan dessert would be a great way to go. Vegan chocolate cake and stuff like that. There's loads of options of them online, and that would be completely eggless.
Okay, brilliant. Listen, Aoife, thanks a million for bringing in, like, definitely there's going to be no shortage of finding people to eat the desserts today. Your pineapple, upside down pineapple cake, and your home-baked chocolate chip cookies as well, all available online in our social media channels, and you're able to freeze them too. Glover's Alley chef Aoife Comerford. Aoife, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.